Today on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub.
I'm a huge fan of the Bible. I think you know that. I'm a huge fan of correct doctrine. I think you know that. But all of those things are guardrails on a highway that point us to the personal relationship with the real Jesus Christ, right? It's not hanging onto the guardrail. It's hanging onto the person that the guardrail reveals. It's the life of the one who wrote the book.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. When times are tough, finances are tight, and nothing seems to be going our way, it's only natural to start praying for better days. But today on Brave, Pastor Jeff shows us how to find true contentment even in the midst of bad circumstances. He's concluding an eye-opening study in the book of Philippians called Memoirs of a Prisoner of War. And if you've missed a single lesson from this insightful series, we encourage you to visit us online and listen when you can. Go to bravemedia.online. But now, it's time to get started with today's series finale, Our Thinking Consumed with Contentment.
Many people in our world are looking for it, and yet so few people find it. And the few people who claim to find it, so often it's elusive and leaves their grasp. And what I'm talking about this morning is real life. How is it you can experience real life? I mean, people come from all walks of life and say, hey, I just want to experience the fullness of what life was intended to be. I want to know what it is. And if you turn into television and you watch things on commercials or infomercials, everyone is promising you what real life looks like, and yet so few people actually have real life. And the real life is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the only place that you will ever find real life. And so I've entitled this study that we're going to go through over the coming weeks, Better Together. Better Together. Because if you understand real life is better together with Christ, you're also going to understand that life lived with Christ is best lived in community, that we're better together when we do it together. So I want to encourage you this morning, open up your Bibles to the book of 1 John. 1 John, it's found in the back of the Bible. It goes 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and the book of Revelation. If you don't have a copy of the scriptures, there's one under the seats near you. Please take that. And if you call Brave Church your home, let me just encourage you, regardless of what campus you're on, get a Bible. If you cannot afford a Bible, we will get you a Bible. This is a great time for you to have your own copy of God's Word that you bring with you every time we gather, that you can open and experience God's Word together. Now, as you're turning to 1 John, it's a very interesting book. It's a short book. It's 5 chapters. It's a letter that was written, but it's not a typical letter where the readers aren't addressed. John, as the author, is not addressed, but you're going to see that it's John because there are so many evidences that it's John, because he talks about one who was directly involved in Jesus' life and knew him. And you're also going to see many words in the book of 1 John that were also used in John's gospel, John. I mean, we're going to hear about obedience. We're going to hear about light. We're going to hear about darkness. We're going to hear about Christ's righteousness. We're going to hear about assurance of salvation. We're going to hear about what it means to know Jesus. And what John is trying to address in this book is, what does it look like to be a member of the family of God? Who are we as believers in Christ, as members of the family of God? As we go through this book, you're going to see, this is what it looks like. This is what it means. This is what it feels. Oh yeah, I remember him saying something about that. Now I see a little different perspective. Okay, now I see a little different perspective. Our hope is at the end of this series, we'll understand how to live better together in our relationship with Jesus and better together as a community of believers. That's what this book is all about. So that is a little background. Let's open our book up, our Bible up, to the book of 1 John. We're going to hopefully get through the first 4 verses this morning in talking about what real life is. So read along with me as I read this out loud. Here's what John says. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. and the life was manifested. And we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. And in these four verses, John is going to start his book by talking about what real life is, by looking at four things that real life truly is. And the first thing that real life is revealed in the eternal Son of God becoming flesh. Real life is revealed in the eternal Son of God becoming flesh. Notice how he starts the book. What was from the beginning? What was from the beginning? Have you seen that word in the Bible anywhere else? Right? In Genesis, the very first verse in the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." He's talking about time. Beginning denotes time. Well, in Genesis, it was the time of what? It was the time of creation. At the beginning of time, when God created time, when God created the world, in the beginning of time for creation. John's going to pick up on this theme when he writes his gospel. If you remember in John's gospel, the gospel of John says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And throughout chapter 1, he's going to describe how Jesus has always existed. And in John chapter 1, verse 14, he's going to say, "And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." So the beginning that John is talking about in his gospel is the time of the incarnation, when the eternal Son of God became flesh. Now he's talking about this, what was from the beginning. What's he going to talk about now? He's going to talk about the life of Christ that was being proclaimed. From the time of his proclamation, right? That's what was from the beginning. He's really saying that Jesus has always existed, that Jesus has always been with the Father, that there was a time and place that he became human, and that there's a time when his gospel was proclaimed after he rose from the dead. And this gospel, this real life, is all centered around the person and the work of Jesus. That's what he's going to tell us. And if you're looking for anything in your life, I mean, you may come into church and say, "Man, I'm just looking for hope. I'm looking for joy. I'm needing better relationship." I'm telling you, what you're looking for is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, from the time of his incarnation, has always been the God-man, 100%. He lived as the God-man. He fulfilled the law as the God-man. He died as the God-man. He rose as the God-man. And he's coming again as the God-man, fully God, fully human. That's what John's going to point out to all of his listeners. And that there's no secret knowledge out there. If you're looking for life with God, it's not a secret. It's been revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the reason that John is so passionate about this is what he says at the end of verse 1. He says this, "What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life." In other words, John is saying this, "I know him. I've seen him with my own two eyes. I've heard him speak with my own two ears." And this verb is a perfect tense verb, which means it's a completed action in the past, but it has significance in the future, which means I heard him, and because I heard him, he's changed my life now. And because I've seen him, he's changed my life now. And what's the difference between see and look at? The word look at really means behold or to gaze upon. Not only do we just see him, like we beheld his glory. And moreover, we touched him. He had a physical body. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead? Judas Iscariot had already hung himself. There were 10 of the apostles that were in a room, and Jesus came in and appeared to them. And there was one apostle that wasn't there at that time. Do you remember? It was Thomas. And when the other 10 went and told Thomas, "We've seen the Lord," what did Thomas say? He said, "Unless I put my hands in his hand, and unless I touch his side, I will not believe it." Well, a week later, Jesus appeared into the same room through the same walls. Thomas happened to be there. He looks at Thomas. What does he tell Thomas? "Thomas, reach out your hand, touch my hand, Hey, Thomas, stop doubting and believe. Why? Because who rose from the dead? It wasn't just spiritual Jesus. It was the God-man Jesus. Jesus had flesh when he rose from the dead. He is fully God. He is fully man. And he will always be that. And this is what John's talking about. That's why this is so important. And we miss this in church because we hear it so much. We think about as Christians, well, God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's good. That's great. Have you ever heard such a radical idea in your life? There's no other faith that even comes close to even making that claim, let alone fulfilling it like Christianity does. I mean, just think about for a second. Just think about for me. If I said, which is impossible, but if I said, hey, I have such a love for the animal kingdom, you know, specifically dogs, and because I created the dog species and my love for dogs, because I know that in the way that they're going, they're in desperate trouble, that I am willing to humble myself and become a dog. And I will be fully Jeff and fully dog. And I will go live among the dogs and I will learn dog and I will be dog so I can communicate to the dog that they're in trouble, knowing full well that all the dogs are going to do is mistreat me and ultimately kill me. And then even after I rise from the dead and demonstrate that I'm truly Jeff and dog and that they can have life in my name, then they'll still reject me, but I'll stay a dog for all eternity. Jeff to a dog is not near the downgrade of the glorious God Almighty becoming incarnate. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, Jesus humbled himself and became a man. Now, don't get me wrong. We are the crown of God's creation as human beings. I'm not trying to put down humanity, but I'm saying in light of the glory of God, we are but dust. It's not like Jesus got here and people were putting their arms around him. Aren't you glad to be human now? You had to be God before, but now you get to be like one of us. No, I mean, Jesus humbled himself because the great love with which he had for us. And John's saying, that which was from the beginning, the eternal Son of God, we've seen him, we've touched him, we've looked at him, we've heard him. This is what we proclaim to you concerning this word of life. Now, what's the word of life? Jesus is the word of life. The person and the work of Jesus. When I talk about the person, I'm talking about the God-man Jesus. When I talk about the work, I'm talking about the God-man Jesus who fulfilled the law perfectly, who honored his Father perfectly, who satisfied all the demands of righteousness that the law needed, and then willingly laid his life down on a cross and died in your place so that you could live. He took the punishment you deserved. And John's saying, that's what I'm talking about. He said, that's if you want to have real life, that's where it starts. It starts in a relationship with the true person, the God-man, Jesus Christ. That's how we come to the Father. And that's what John is saying. He's basically saying this. When you look at Jesus, what you're seeing is eternity rooted in history. Jesus Christ is fully God, but he's also fully man. Now, why is this a big deal? You know, you may have read through the Gospels before, and there's times where Jesus healed somebody where he would say words like this, don't tell anybody about this. And then they never listened to him. You know what I'm talking about? And people ask questions, why would Jesus tell people not to tell people about him? Aren't we supposed to go tell? Here's why. Because everybody wants the spiritual Jesus. Everybody wants the Jesus who can heal, who's king, who's glorious, who's kind, who's all this. But when we start talking about that same Jesus that suffered and died in your place for your sin because you are dead, well, I don't want to talk about that one, right? And after Jesus suffered and died and fulfilled the law and rose from the dead, he tells the two women at the tomb, now go tell. And the two women, what? They flee. Like, I don't want to do that. I mean, that's too big of a message, right? See, the message is not just God can do. We already know that. God can heal. Yes, he can. God is awesome. Yes, he is. God blesses. Yes, he does. That's part of the message. The other message is this. And he's the God-man who's completely glorious, who came to this earth because you're a sinner and you're separated from God and there's nothing you can do to get right with God. And no matter how much secret knowledge you think or no matter how good you think you are, you can't get to God. And so Jesus came. He died on the cross in your place. And the punishment you deserve, God the Father put on him so that you wouldn't have to experience the punishment anymore. That's the message of the gospel, right? The God-man, that's what he's talking about. And that's what John's telling these people that are saying it's more than just blessing. Jesus was fully God and he's fully man. And real life is revealed in the eternal Son of God. Let's move on to point number two. Real life is also designed to be experienced and shared. Notice what he says in verse 2. And this life was manifested. Manifested. It means what was hidden is now revealed. That we're not just talking about a creed or a doctrine, all of which I think are very important. Those things are guardrails which point us to a person. Right? It's a person. This life was manifested. This life that we're looking for, the real life that you want, when you're sitting around saying, this is the life. I'm living the life. I have the life. The life is in his Son that was revealed. Prior to Jesus' incarnation, we didn't know what this life was going to be. We didn't know how he was going to come and how he was going to reveal himself to humankind. And he chose to come in the form of a person for all eternity. That's where the life is manifested. That's where the life is revealed. And this life is designed to be experienced and shared. Notice what he says. And we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the, not a, the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. John's already told us in his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus has always been with the Father. I'm telling you, every heresy that you hear about, it usually starts with the fact that Jesus Christ is not God's eternal Son. He's eternal. We just heard about the fact there's never been a time Jesus Christ didn't exist. He's always been here. And yet he manifested himself to us through his incarnation. And he says, and we've seen him. And we testify. Now testify can be speaking, but it really means this. It means to bear witness to the fact of. Here's what John's saying. The very thing we're talking about is the very thing we're living out. The fact that we say we believe in Jesus, there's evidence in our life to say we believe in Jesus. We're living out this relationship that we have with God through the person of Jesus Christ. He's still alive. We can still know him, and we are bearing witness to the fact that this Jesus that you crucified, that rose from the dead, is still alive. And we still have relationship with him. We're testifying about that. The Jesus I'm talking about is not dead. The Jesus I'm talking about didn't just live 2,000 years ago. The Jesus I'm talking about is the God-man who rose from the dead, who's seated in the heavenly places at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, who's coming back to judge both the living and the dead. That's the Jesus I'm talking about. He's as alive as he's ever been. You can still have access to him today through the good news of Christ, through the cross of Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's what John's talking about. He says, you know what? We've seen it. We testify. And we proclaim to you the eternal life. Proclaim here means announcing good news. Announcing good news. Let me tell you something. When you see and you experience something that's good in your life, you will talk about it. You always talk about it. Introverts, you talk about it too. I mean, when you see and you experience and you're living something that's good, you talk about it. You tell other people about it. When you go to a restaurant that serves great food, normally you don't just say, man, I'm going to go back there by myself and eat. Now, you may go back there and be able to have a meal, but it's something when you tell other people, you should go check out this restaurant, or hey, why don't you come with us, right? For those getting married, when they're excited about getting married and they're experiencing something or they're about to experiencing something that's so great, what do? They tell other people about it. Even those who elope, after they elope, what do? They tell everybody, we're married now. You can't do anything about it, right? I mean, when you're expecting a child that you're yearning for, that you're longing for, when you give birth to a child in your family, what do? You tell people about it. You send cards. You announce good news, right? Let me tell you something about Jesus. If you truly know him and you're living with him and you're experiencing him, it would be next to impossible not to tell somebody else about him. Evangelism is not a program. It's not a plan. It's a life that's lived with Christ, that's so full of Christ, so enjoying Christ, that I can't help but tell you where my joy comes from. That's what evangelism is. I never took a class when I got married to my wife that taught me over the course of 6 weeks how to share that I was going to be married. And don't be embarrassed about it, because there's still some singles out there, but don't be afraid to stand up and say that you love your wife. I didn't take a class. Everybody around me knew that I love my wife, right? Everybody saw us. Everybody made fun of us for how much I love my wife. Like, you talk on the phone way too much. That's all you do is think about her, right? Why? I didn't take a class on it. I was in love, right? When you have a love relationship with Jesus, you're going to share it. For those of you that go to sporting events that have a good experience, you come out of it, you share it. Whatever you enjoy when you go on a vacation and it's great, you share it, right? If you genuinely love Jesus and you're testifying or you're living out what he's doing in your life, you will proclaim it. And that's what John's saying. I know him, I'm experiencing him, and I'm sharing him, because that's just what you do. It's normative. John's not doing it out of guilt. John's not doing it because he's got to go back and tell the other apostles, I shared my faith 5 times this week. I'm really doing a good job. He's doing this because he loves Jesus. He loves him. And it comes out of that. It's not just lip service. He's giving his life to Christ. And what's he proclaiming? The eternal life. He's proclaiming the eternal life. There is no other. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's John 14:6. But let's look at a more familiar one. How about John 3:16? Do you know that one? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have what? Eternal life. Some versions read everlasting life. I think it's a bad translation. Everlasting life means I get into Christ and I get to live forever. No, I get the eternal life. It's not what I get, it's who I get. I get Jesus. He's on the inside. And the moment that I trust him as my Lord and Savior, the eternal life of God through the Holy Spirit is resident inside of me forever and ever. Amen? That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he goes, that's what I'm telling you about. John's going to tell us in 1 John chapter 5, anyone who has the Son has the life, and anyone who does not have the Son does not have the life. I mean, he's going to make it super simple for us. You either have Christ's life or you don't. Very similar to how I've said many times, you're either pregnant or you're not. You're not kind of pregnant. You're not kind of Christian. You're either in or you're out. And John is proclaiming to these people, I'm in. I know him. I've seen him. I've heard him. I've touched him. I've gazed upon him. I've spent time with him. I'm living out the relationship with him. And that's what I'm announcing to you, is that this, you too can have the same life with Christ. What you're looking for is found in him. Quit looking other places. Look no further than Jesus. He's willing to forgive all your sins and give you his righteousness and see you the very way that God sees him. That's powerful stuff. And that's how John's getting started. This is designed to be experienced and shared.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today we're concluding our in-depth study in the book of Philippians called Memoirs of a Prisoner of War, with a powerful message titled, Our Thinking Consumed with Contentment. If you've missed any of these messages over the past few weeks, you can catch up easily at your own pace at bravemedia.online. And if you'd like to listen to these messages while you're out on the road or taking a walk, download the Brave Church app to your smartphone or mobile device. Along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages and sermon notes, the app will also give you an opportunity to join a small group for Bible study, sign up for ministry events, and connect with fellow believers in prayer. Just open the App Store on your smart device, search for Brave Church Denver, and download the Brave Church app today. But before we wrap up today's program, I'd like to take a moment to invite you and your whole family to come be part of our weekend services here at Brave Church. If you're listening in the Denver metro area, join us in person for worship at our campus in Englewood, or check out our other venue in Westminster. If you're listening from elsewhere, you can still be part of our Sunday services by joining us through our live stream. You'll find all the details to attend or stream weekend services at bravemedia.online. Just go to the bottom of our homepage and click the button labeled Brave Church. And if you have any questions or prayer requests, maybe you'd like to share the impact this ministry has had on you with Pastor Jeff, reach out by email, hello@bravechurch.co. And while you're at it, connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram when you search for Brave Church Denver. Then click subscribe or follow. And as we close today, let me invite you to tune in tomorrow for the start of a series all about relationship and the key elements that make Christianity so life-changing. It's a series called Better Together. Pastor Jeff is getting it started next time on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.